25 years old and at the moment childless, unapologetically went to see Disney's Moana in December. And it was fantastic. Believe me, it took every last bit of my restraint to not sing along to that video. So it's a story set in a Polynesian-inspired culture about a spunky, smart young girl named Moana, the daughter of the village chief living on the island of Motunui, the heir to the throne, but she is not, as she says, very, very adamantly, a princess. Her father, the chief, only has one rule. Don't sail beyond the reef in which the island sits. But Moana has this love of the ocean that she can never seem to shake. She grows up hearing the legends of her people, especially one about the goddess Te Fiti. Te Fiti used her magical heart in the form of a small green stone to create life. And everyone wanted this heart, including us humans. Long ago, the demigod Maui tried to steal the heart and give it to humanity as a gift. But as Maui made his escape, he was attacked by the lava demon Te Ka, causing the heart to become lost in the ocean. And ever since then, darkness and destruction steadily grew among the islands. And the curse makes its way to Motunui, and it begins to destroy the fish and the crops that the village needs to survive. The heart of Te Fiti washes up on the shore, and Moana knows she must set off on a journey to save her people with the help of the more than somewhat reluctant Maui. Now, the scene we just saw is from the climax of the movie, where Moana finds Te Ka. She quickly puts two and two together and realizes that Te Ka and Te Fiti are not two separate people anymore. They're one and the same. Te Fiti might be a goddess, but she has very human emotions. She's been hurt by the people she loved, and she let her anger turn her into a monster. But Moana knows better. They've stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. And ultimately, it's Moana's choice to see through to Te Fiti's true identity that saves her and saves her home. Now, one of the ways that I defend my love for Disney movies is pointing out the fact that many of them hold deep wisdom and applicable life lessons. Moana's no exception. Now, what a Disney movie has to do with our faith might not seem readily apparent, but I've come to believe that God can use anything to speak to anybody. And reading this text only affirmed that. Stay with me here. The story begins with a woman living in a place called Moab during the time of the judges. Her name is Naomi. She loses her husband and two adult sons. Now, while this would be devastating enough by itself, it's especially bad for a woman in Naomi's time. Society was extremely patriarchal. Without a husband or sons, Naomi would have no hope of any kind of security. To make matters worse, women were valued primarily for their childbearing ability, and Naomi is too old to remarry and bear children. So Naomi decides to go back to her home in Israel and begs her daughters-in-law to go back to their native lands too. They can remarry, they can have children, and they can start over. But one of them stays, Ruth. She vows to stay with Naomi and provide and protect them both, somehow, some way. She also pledges her loyalty to Naomi's God, the God of our scriptures. She says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." Still, this does very little to cheer Naomi up. She says in chapter 1, verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." Let's take a closer look at this scene here. In biblical times, names were thought to carry great meaning, even more so than they do today. They were given to describe some key aspect of the person's identity. Naomi means pleasant or good, but Mara comes from an ancient Hebrew word for bitter. Naomi's renaming of herself represents a fundamental shift in how she perceives her own identity and the world around her. As far as she's concerned, she's a totally different person after all of this that's happened to her, and it is not a change for the better. But true to her word, Ruth follows Naomi to Bethlehem. She goes out to the fields to gather barley left over from the harvest. A man named Boaz takes a shine to her and lets her pick barley from his fields. Turns out, Boaz is actually Naomi's closest male relative, and as such, he's eligible to marry Ruth. So Naomi encourages Ruth to keep going to him, and some events ensue. But eventually, Ruth's efforts are blessed. Boaz praises her character. They marry, and they have a child, and they bring Naomi the joy that she thought she would never feel again. For me, there's a pretty clear contrast between the women in this story. Now, I'm not saying that when things go horribly wrong in life that all you have to do is pull yourself up by the bootstraps and act like everything's okay when it's really not. We can work hard, we can do everything right, and things still might not work out for us like they do for Ruth. I'm also not saying to put up with toxic people or situations when it really seems like nothing's gonna give. And let's not forget, Ruth is very sad when her husband dies. She weeps with Naomi at the start of the book. She's a foreigner in Israel, and she knows that she'll be an outcast. Her work is demeaning and has very little reward. And she's still a pawn in a society that doesn't value her because of her gender. And on that note, Boaz isn't exactly Prince Charming either. This is not a Disney movie. There's no G-rated fun for the whole family stuff here. Boaz is old enough to be her father. Why doesn't he just come out and say, "Hey, Naomi, I'm related to you. I can help you and marry your daughter-in-law," instead of making Ruth work for it? Ruth really suffers. I mean, how would you feel? How do you think she felt? But I feel like I can talk about Naomi in this way because I've been her. I've been in those deep, dark spaces where nothing in the whole world feels right, like my life is over, and where it feels like nothing will ever be okay again. And if I'm being honest, I've thrown myself a few more pity parties than I'd like to admit. But I think we've all been Naomi. We can get so caught up in our struggles and our tragedies and our mistakes that they can feel like they're swallowing us whole. If we make a mistake, and we all do, we might feel like failures. We think, gosh, I've really messed up this time. When bad things happen unexpectedly, as they do, we might think, I must have done something to deserve this. When people hurt us or disappoint us, we feel rejected and ask, can anybody really love me if they knew who I truly am? Worse, when we get sick or lose someone or something that we care deeply about, we may feel unloved by God. You might ask, if God loves me and God is good, how could this be happening to me? The truth is, we change our names too. We rename ourselves bitter and angry when we sit in our pain day in and day out like Naomi. We take on names like bad or sick or unlovable or a mistake. We can even name ourselves cruel when we start to believe that the world is nothing but a cold, dark place and there's no use in trying to change anything. But when we let our pain change our names, we lose sight of the God who made us and said, "This is very good." The God who gave us each unique talents and personalities. The God who sent his Spirit to guide and love others, to guide us to be kind to them. The God who's always with us and never forsakes us. He named us good and lovable and kind, not bitter, not forsaken, not bad, and definitely not cruel. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, when Israel is suffering in exile, by their own fault, no less, God says to them, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine." In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that he's the good shepherd. He knows us, his lambs, and we know his voice. God knows who we are because God made us, and God calls us by name out of love. God never leaves Naomi. He gives her Ruth. Ruth keeps on working in the fields even though gleaning is hard. The world labels her and tries to define her: a widow, a single woman, a childless woman, poor and desolate. But even though her sad story might become a part of who she is, she doesn't let it define her. Now, the meaning of the name Ruth is ambiguous, but the closest translation that scholars agree on is friend. And she lives up to her name, doesn't she? She doesn't forget who she is, and it's her strength and her identity and her hope in the Lord that brings her through to the end. She knows that God made her for kindness, love, and friendship. She doesn't allow tragedy to change her name. And hopefully now you see where I'm going with this. The goddess Tefiti, like Naomi, lets her hurt and bitterness change who she is, at least on the outside. She changes her name to Tekah, a raging demon bent on destruction, instead of the beautiful, peaceful, life-giving goddess that she really is. It takes Moana crossing the ocean to rescue her. Moana understands her pain and calls her by her real name, reminding her of who she is. And out of this, Tefiti finally finds healing. We too can be tempted to harden, to grow bitter, and to shut out the world around us. But God, just like Moana with Tefiti, and yes, I can't believe I'm comparing God to a Disney character either, very tenderly and lovingly says to us, I know your name. I know who you are, who you truly are. And your pain doesn't define you. If we listen to this tender voice, we can have the strength to be like Ruth. We can do what we need to do to survive the storms of this life without losing who we are, without forgetting where, or more accurately, in whom our identity lies. I love nature, even when nature is 90 plus degrees like it often is here in Florida. I love seeing the care and the artistry that God put into every single piece of this world. And I see this so clearly when I look at the flowers. My favorite is the lotus blossom. Aside from being very, very beautiful, I think you'll agree, it is revered by many cultures and comes to symbolize purity and goodness. But what a lot of people don't know is that the lotus has roots in the water underneath it. This water is murky and thick and muddy. It probably smells bad. For the lotus to bloom, it has to push up through the water and go through the layers of mud. Yet, as you can see, it still emerges as pure and as lovely as God made it to be. No, the beauty of the lotus doesn't make the mud any less ugly. I'm sure that if the lotus could talk, it would tell you it didn't particularly like having to come up through thick layers of mud to bloom. But the grossness of the mud doesn't make the lotus any less beautiful either. It doesn't stop the lotus from doing what God intended it to do. And just like the lotus, we all have beauty and purpose inside of us. Your pain, your mud, my pain, my mud, doesn't mean that we're not cherished by God. It doesn't make you a mistake. It doesn't make you forgotten. It doesn't make you unlovable. It doesn't have to make you bitter. It doesn't mean you will hurt forever. It doesn't mean that God won't or can't use you, and it doesn't mean that the world doesn't need your kindness and your love and your gifts. We each bear the image of God, and nothing and no one, no amount of mud, can rob us of that. This won't stop us from being hurt or disappointed or devastated in life. But while the world might try to steal the hearts from inside of us, it doesn't have to define us. You will suffer. You may even suffer greatly. And when you suffer, it's okay to cry. It's okay to rant. It's okay to ask the hard questions. But don't let it make you forget who you are, because who you are is really special. And the good news is, for the times that we do despair, and for the times when we do forget our names, and we all will, when we forget our names, our real names, God never will. And may it be so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.